Good morning. Today's off in Baba Kama Chaf Vav. We're in Chaf Hey Amud Beis. We are starting towards the bottom of the Amud. A little bit more this morning about Kava Chomer. So if yesterday did not send you in a loop in terms of Kava Chomer, which was not the goal, but certainly it's difficult trying to make arguments and seeing how arguments bounce off from one halacha to another halacha. So today, at least the first half of today's daf, we're going to be doing the same. I'm going to go over the first half of today's daf in a quicker pace. The Gemara is going to assert a number of havaminas using a kavachomer. The Gemara is going to reject almost every one of these havaminas. Not almost, every one of these havaminas. And then the Gemara is going to be discussing kofar from Shane. Okay, that we'll discuss later on. And then we do the Mishnah, the Mishnah and Chavav. Right, we are here. Today's daf is Chavav, the Mishnah and Chavav. Adam Ud La'olam is probably one of the cornerstones of the Masechta. Regarding our personal responsibility and liability whenever we do damage, meaning up until this point in the Masechta, we were talking about property damage, but in today's daf, when we start the next Mishnah, we're going to be talking about where we do damage to other people's property, or we do damage to other people. And as far as our liability is concerned, so that's what we're going to be discussing from the second half of our daf going forward. Going forward really means until the end of the perek, and the perek ends tomorrow. Obviously, we're going to come back to Adam doing Nezek, but we are right now going to be focusing at least for the remainder of the parak with the start of the next Mishnah. We're going to be talking about a person doing damages. Okay, we are on Chaf Hamad Beis, and we are towards the bottom. The Amud Tei, Shein V'Regel Chayev B'Rishus HaRabim. So Shein V'Regel should be Chayev in a Rishus HaRabim Mikav HaChomer, meaning we have said since the beginning of the Masechta that Shein V'Regel are Pata B'Rishus HaRabim, and not only do we say that, but that's accurate, that's correct. Shein V'Regel is Pata B'Rishus HaRabim. But now that we have a couple of arguments in play, and now that we have this idea of Kav HaChomer, so the Gemara says, so let's use the concept of Kav HaChomer to arrive at the conclusion that Shein V'Regel is really going to be Chayev in a Rishus HaRabim. And how's the Kav HaChomer going to sound? So we're going to learn it from Karen. Uma Karen Shabrushus and Isaac and Mishama Lachatin Ezek Brushus Rabbi Chayeves, comma, Shane Varegel Shabrushus and Isaac Mishama Ezek Shalim. Ain Odin Shabrushus Rabbi Chayev. Well, look, in other words, when we have Karen, which is only Chayev Chatzin Nezek, and I know yesterday we spent the entire day talking about Brushus and Isaac or Chayev Nezek Shalim, but that's the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. But okay, that's the opinion of Rabbi Tarfon. Right? In other words, leave the world of Rabbi Tarfon. Now let's enter into the world of what is accepted halacha. Karen, you're going to be chayv chatzi nezek. But the Gemara says, okay, so you're going to be chayv Karen and chatzi nezek in the Rishus HaNizak, and in the Rishus HaRabim, you're going to be chayv Shein V'Regel, where you're chayv nezek shalem in the Rishus HaNizak. So shouldn't it stand to reason that you should be chayv now in a Rishus HaRabim? That's the argument. Mishal nezek shalem eno din sheb Rishus HaRabim chayv. So Amakra will be your bistei acher, v'lo b'rishus harabim. And even though you can construct this argument, so what do we have? We have a pasuk that says otherwise. Meaning, what happens is that the Kal V'Chomer is helpful in the absence of a pasuk. But when we have a pasuk, and when we have a drasha, the drasha is always going to trump over the Kal V'Chomer. And so over here, this is going to be the first of numerous examples where I could make a Kal V'Chomer, but the pasuk tells us otherwise. The Torah says, where is there a chiv of Shein V'Regel, ubir b'steyacher. That's when you're going to your neighbor's field. But if I'm not in my neighbor's field, i.e. I'm in a public, I'm in a Rishus HaRabim, so then there's not going to be a chiv of Shein V'Regel. Now, before we go on, we're on the top of Chavav HaManal, the Gemara just quickly clarifies, even within the Kav HaChomer, midi kule kamrinan, paga kamrinan. Look, even via this Kav HaChomer, we didn't mean that you should be chayv Shein V'Regel full chiv, we only meant half chiv. Consider, we're learning from Karen. What is the liability regarding Karen? Half chiyuv. So maybe over here we're talking about half chiyuv as well. And that would also help out because the pasuk says, ubir b'steyacher. What does that mean to tell me? That when I'm in my neighbor's field, when my animal's in my neighbor's field, I have full liability. And maybe maybe when I'm in a Rishus HaRabim, it's not going to be full liability, but maybe it'll be partial liability, like Karen. So Amar Kra v'chitza is kaspo, kaspo shozev lo kaspo shalacher. So the Gemara says no. That's an untenable conclusion. Why? Because as far as chatzi nezek is concerned, chatzi nezek is applicable in only one area of nezek, and that is Karen. Why? V'chitza es kaspo. Only in that particular case, meaning the case of Karen, the pasuk the Gemara citing is regarding Karen. Only in the case of Karen do you have chatzi nezek. In any other nezek, it's either all or it's nothing. Those are your two options.
Except Tzoros is
regal. With notable exception to Tzoros. That's an excellent point. But Tzoros Allah Moshe Mitzinai. Yeah. So good. So the so fine. So it's either going to be all or nothing. So given that it's all or nothing, and we have the pasuk of Bir Beste Acher, so that means to tell me that in Rishus Anizik you're Chayv Nezik Shalem, in the Rishus Arabim you're Patul Lagamre. Okay, so that is one attempt. And get ready because, and I told you, I'm going to go through this quickly. Numerous attempts of making Kav V'chomers. Velote Leishen V'regel Chayav is Rishus Anizik El Chati Nezik. Okay, now it's so funny. This second suggestion, which already from the get go seems to object to what we just learned. But anyway, okay, let's set ourselves up for the next kav v'chomer. So let's suggest that the shein v'regel is going to be chayv rishus and nizak, but only chatzi nezek. Why? How do you arrive at such a conclusion? Kav v'chomer. Mikaren ma karen brishos aramim chayeves brishos anizik and mishalamis elachati nezek. So when it comes to karen in rishos arabim you're chayev, but chatzi nezek in the rishos anizik you're going to be paying chatzi nezek again. We don't pass like Rabbi Tarfon. We're holding like the chachamim. So shein v'regel shabrishos arabim petura ain odin shabrishos anizik mishalim chatzi nezek. So shein v'regel, what's your starting point of shein v'regel in the rishos arabim? It's zero. So if that's your starting point, zero. So how much you want to climb up the ladder? In other words, don't go beyond half. In other words, by Karen, you only are at half. So Karen, which is Chatzi Nezek and Rishos Arabim and Rishos Anizek, it's Chatzi Nezek. So over here, by Shein V'regel, if I'm starting from zero, don't go from zero to 100. Go from zero to 50. Using a Kav V'chomer. Amakra Yishalem Tashlum Ma'alya. And again, the Gemara says, yeah, I know it's a Kav V'chomer, but the Kav V'chomer doesn't stand up against the Pasuk. The Torah says that when damaging via the pasuk over here, v'shilach es bi'iro bi'ir b'stei acher. Okay, so that's Shein. So over there, since the pasuk is telling us yishalem, that means compensation, full compensation, tashlum ma'alya. Okay, let's do another one. V'lotei karen b'rishos harabim chayv mikav v'chomer. Why don't we say this? Why don't we say that karen in rishos harabim pater legamrei? How? So umashim v'regel shebirushos anizak nezek shalim and birushos arabim b'tura karen shebirushos anizak chatzi nezek eno din shebirushos arabim b'tura. Okay, so this happens to be a relatively easy kavachomer to make. In other words, shein v'regel in the rishos anizak, how much liability? Full liability. Move that over to rishos arabim. What did we do? We went from 100 down to zero. So karen in the rishos anizak is at 50. So now if I move that into Rishos Arabim, so if we're ready to go from 100 to zero, aren't we prepared to go from 50 to zero? Okay, good. That's a pretty streamlined Kav V'chomer. So the Gemara says, Ein chatzi nezek chalok lo b'Rishos Arabim v'lo b'Rishos Arabim. I'm sorry. I'm a Rabbi Yochanan. I missed the punchline. Amar kra yechet zun. Ein chatzi nezek chalok lo b'Rishos Arabim v'lo b'Rishos Yachid. So the Gemara says, yeah, but chatzi nezek is indivisible. I say that with irony, right? In other words, the division of chatzi nezek is indivisible, meaning you cannot divide the halacha. When there's karen and when you're paying chatzi nezek, that's across the board, regardless of whether it occurs in the rishus anizek or regardless of whether it occurs in the rishus arabim. Let's go one more round. Okay, I told you I'm going to do this quickly. V'hei adam chayiv b'kofer mikav v'chomer. Okay, so maybe adam should be chayiv b'kofer. Let's make sure that we know what kofer is. We've done it before. Let's do it again. So kofer is the following. My animal, which is a muad, has gored repeatedly. It gored and killed repeatedly. Okay? Now, I know by the first killing, what should have happened is that my animal should have been taken by the basin and put to death. But basin didn't get their act together, and it not only killed, it killed a second time, a third time. And now my animal is a muad to kill people. And what does it do? It kills the fourth person. At that point in time, the Torah says to the owner of the animal, really, you should be put to death. Now, you didn't commit murder, but you have an animal that is a repeated killer. So you should be put to death. The Torah says, here's what you're allowed to do in this case and only in this case. Kofer yushas alav. What you can now do is you can pay your way out of this. Now, I'm putting it in air quotes, in this death penalty. Even though you have an animal that killed repeatedly, and even though you really should be put to death, but here you can pay your way out, it's called kofer. Kofer now is the payment that allows you not to be killed. Okay. So.
When are you chayv kofer
kofar after the fourth time or
at the fourth time. So now what the Gemara is entertaining is the following. Let's make a kavachomer. And that is that if your animal kills and once your animal's a muad and you're chayv kofar, maybe when you kill, so maybe you're going to be chayv kofar as well. Now, Rashi over here and Tosos are all dealing with the fact that, you know, if you kill, so the kofar payment, in other words, that's a little funny considering the fact that right now you're subject to the death penalty. Okay. And there's going to be a death penalty and there's going to be a kofar payment. So see Rashi over here, see Tosos over here. I say Tosos, by the way, I really mean Tosos Rabbeinu Peretz. Anyway, there is what to discuss over here. Again, I'm just going to give the short version of this discussion. So v'yehed adam chayv kofar mikav chomer. So maybe a person, when he kills, should be chayv kofar. So mashur she'enu chayv arba dvarim chayv kofar. Look, when your animal damages, there's not dal dvarim. Dal dvarim are the extra payments that are going to be incurred when you damage. And that's not true by when your animal damages. Your animal damages another person, there's no dal dvarim. Right, sar, shevis, ripui, boshes. They don't exist when your animal does damage to another person. So adam shechay bar b'dvarim eino din shehei chay b'kofer. Now, when a person damages another person, so there are dal dvarim. In addition to nezek, there's also another four payments: sar, boshes, shevis, ripui. Okay, we'll go over them in more detail later. Maybe later today, but later.
Would that exceed the value of the animal?
We're talking right now about an animal which is a muad, so there is no capping of these payments. So amakra, excuse me, kechol asher yushas alav. So alav alo ala adam. So the Gemara says, okay. So in other words, yeah, you want to make a kavachomer, great. You can't make a kavachomer because we have a pasuk. The Torah tells us otherwise. The Torah says that there simply is no kofar payment outside of the realm of your animal killing. Just we have a gzeris akasuf. Okay, so maybe when your animal damages a person, maybe there should be dal dvarim. So ma adam shenu chayev kofer v'chayev arba dvarim. Look, when a person damages, there's no kofer, but there is dal dvarim. Shur shechayev b'kofer. Now, when a shur kills a person, there's going to be kofer. So I know din shehei chayev arba dvarim. So shouldn't there be dal dvarim when there's chavala, when there's damage? So Amakra, Ish Ba'amito, Velo Shur Ba'amito. Once again, even though it's a Kavachomer, but we have a pasuk that trumps the Kavachomer and tells us that no, that when your animal damages, there's not going to be Dal Dvarim. When your animal kills, there's going to be Kofar, but when your animal damages, there's not going to be Dal Dvarim. Okay, Ad Kan. That was a quick and short route to get through the first half, almost the end of the first half of today's daf, in which the Gemara entertained, what was it, five Kavachomers that I just ran through? Of various arguments that are potentially on the table, but once they're on the table, they are off the table. Because we have psukim and we have drashas that tells us otherwise. Okay, so what just happened in the Gemara? We just basically, it's more than a mental exercise. I'm putting a little bit of a governor on myself. I was about to say it's a mental exercise. It's more than that. In other words, every time we make a kavachomer, we try to construct a kavachomer, it is a chelek of Torah. We're learning Torah, right? Even an attempt, a failed attempt, to learn a halacha is going to be a chelek in Talmud Torah. The Gemara just went through kavachomers, five of them, which the Gemara rejected all five of them because we have psukim that say otherwise. But clearly over here, just even constructing a kavachomer, albeit it's wrong and it's incorrect, so that's still part and parcel of the process of learning Torah. Ibailahu. We're in Chavav Amud Aleph. We're halfway down on the Amud, and the Gemara now is going to be asking the following question. We are going to be spending now a couple minutes together on kofar. Again, kofar, when my animal, a repeated offender who has gored people to death repeatedly, okay, and Beis Din should have taken the animal after the first killing and put my animal to death. That's what should have happened. It didn't. And now my animal killed a second, a third time. And now in the fourth time that it killed its fourth victim, so the Torah says that the owner at that point in time should be chayv misa. Of course, the person himself didn't kill, but having an animal that gored four people to death is, from the Torah's perspective, absolutely just, the first death is inexcusable. But the fourth death now is beyond inexcusable, and the Torah therefore says, you're chayv misa, but here you have an option of paying out. It's called kofar. Okay. So now the Gemara is going to ask a fantastic question. What if my animal tramples a person to death? In other words, doesn't gore a person to death, but tramples a person to death. So now, and let's say it's its first victim. Is there going to be kofar in such a situation? Ah, okay. So, ibayluhu regal shadarsa al gabitinok bechatzar anizik mashu tashim kofar. Okay, now, let's say it's regal and it's rishus anizak. Okay? Now, everyone understands how the Gemara is setting itself up. In other words, regal berishus anizak means what? That you have full liability on nezek the first time around. Okay. So, but we're not talking about nezek right now because it was more than just damages. It was death. The wrongful death of, the Gemara has the example of a child. I understand the Gemara is just basically looking at somebody who's, you know, small and frail. And so, in other words, with a trampling, with a simple trampling, the person is going to die. The truth of the matter is that adults die with a simple trampling of a one-ton, two-ton animal. Okay, the one of the craziest things that we've all seen, by the way, is the running of the bulls out in Spain. So, right, what leads a person to believe that this is going to be fun and exciting, right? I'm sure a younger version of myself would have been like, "That's fun and exciting," okay? But what can I tell you? I grew up, so I don't get it. As a spectator sport, by the way, you can't turn your eyes away from it, but like it's crazy.
It's funny. I was watching this documentary, and they say if you run with the bulls, if you fall, do not try to get up.
Oh.
Lie down, cover your head.
Oh, okay, good.
Because the animal's instinct is to gore.
Right.
So if you get up, he's going to lower his head and hit you with the
rope. Right. Well.
Not trample you, but okay. The death.
I hope everyone listening, by the way, heard the helpful advice.
Don't get up. No, but it was interesting. I was thinking about the Gemara. The natural, the animals, the lower is going to go after you with the horn.
Okay, so the Gemara now entertains the following, and that is that let's say your animal goes into somebody else's property and not Karen, but rather with regal goes ahead and kills somebody, and it's the first time. So now the question on the table is, are you, the owner of the animal, going to have to be paying kofar? Now, when you think about the question, you realize it is an unbelievable question. The Gemara spells out how unbelievable it is. So, ma'u shetash shetasham kofar, mi amrinan, mi de dehave ha-karen, karen kevin de'ava treyu talate zim ne'orchehu, misham kofar ha-chanami veloshna. Okay, so on one hand, we could say the following. What is triggering the kofar penalty? Oh, so good. What I mean, it's terrible. We're talking about the death of a person, but in terms of just analysis, it's so good. What's triggering the kofar penalty? Is it the fact that your animal now has repeatedly gored and what do we know now with repeated actions? If it repeats it three times, so then urche. I know it's unusual, but now it's normal. In other words, this behavior is normal behavior for this animal. Atypical, but now typical. Regal from the get-go is typical behavior. So maybe if your animal went and trampled a person to death, b'rishus anizak, you need rishus anizak, because there and only there you have liability. So over there, maybe under those circumstances, because it's typical, therefore you're going to be paying the kofar penalty. So is what's triggering the kofar just the fact that it's orche? That's option number one. Odilma, karen kavanas alahazik, and hi, ain't kavanas alahazik. Or maybe no. Maybe what's triggering the kofar penalty is karen, and specifically karen. Why? Because since day one of the Masechta, what do we note is the characteristic of Karen? It's Kavanas Olahazik. It's obviously, it's lowering its head for one reason and one reason only, because it wants to injure and it wants to damage. On the other hand, if your animal's walking, you know what animals do? They walk. That's just the very nature of the animal, not with intent to damage and to hurt, but just simply because it walks. So over here, there's no kavanah to be mazik, and maybe if there's no kavanah to be mazik, even though from a nezik standpoint there is going to be full liability, but from a killing a person standpoint, it doesn't trigger kofar because there's no kavanah to do hezek. Okay, so is the trigger for kofar the fact that it's orche, or is the trigger for kofar the fact that it's kavanah lahazik? That's right now what's on the table, and the difference between those two is what if your animal went into somebody else's property and trampled a person. Are you going to be paying kofar, yes or no? If it's orche, yes. If it's kavanas olahazik, no. That's the question on the table. The Gemara answers. Tashma. Hich nisar shor lechatzir balabai shalab rishos v'nachol balabai sumeisa shor b'skila u'bala b'intam b'muad v'shalom kofar shalom divra b'tarfon. So over here, what happens is that your shor goes into the chatzir of the balabai and without permission, and does a negicha. Now, this is important. In other words, over here in this brisa, it's Karen. Okay? And gores. And it kills the balabais. So, now, as far as the shore is concerned, the shore is going to get skila. Okay? That's easy. That's obvious. And as far as the owner of the shore is concerned, whether it's tam or whether it's muad, according to Rabbi Tarfon, you pay kofar shalim. Now, I understand that you really need to, like, focus and think about this. In other words, according to Rabbi Tarfon, you're going to be paying kofar. Now, what is unique about Rabbi Tarfon? So go back to yesterday's daf. What we discussed all of yesterday. According to Rabbi Tarfon, so Karen Berushos HaNizak, you pay Nezek Shalim. Ah. So now, Rabbi Tarfon over here in this case, so it's not just Nezek, it's death. So Rabbi Tarfon's going to tell me that in such a situation, you're going to be paying Nezek Shalim. Sorry, let's do that better and let's do it correctly. You're going to be paying Kofar. And to be more accurate, you're going to be paying Kofar Shalim, full Kofar. Okay, now. So Kofar Shalim betam le Rabbi Tarfon Manale. Okay, now. So this is going to be Kofar Shalim and it's going to be a tam. Okay, now usually those two terms are incompatible. Because kofar shalom only comes when your animal repeatedly kills. And over here, it's not repeated killing. It's the first time. And still, it's going to be kofar shalom. So how did he get there? How do you arrive at that conclusion? So, So the Gemara says, I know how he got there. And so now what the Gemara is going to take us on is a journey. Now, I read the journey in one line because the Gemara is so concise and is able to express ideas in such few words. It's fantastic. Okay, but I'm going to give a little bit more voice to what the journey of this argument is. Here's how the journey goes. We're going to assume that Rabbi Tarfon holds like Rav Yosei Aglili. I know I'm going to say this quickly. I apologize, but in other words, it's a daf. I got it. So Rabbi Tarfon holds like Rav Yosei Aglili, and that is that there is such an institution as Chatzi Kofar. So that means to say that when your animal damages for the first time, second time, and not just damages, but kills, so you are on the hook for Chatzi Kofar. But that's it. That's if it occurs in the Rishus HaRabim. Now what we're going to do is that we're going to now move that into the Rishus HaNizak. So if you're paying Chatzi Kofar for death that occurs in the Rishus HaRabim, and Rabbi Tarfon holds like Rabbi Yosef Lili, that you're paying Chatzi Kofar, so now when you move into the Rishus HaNizak, so the ante gets moved up, and you're going to be paying Nezek Shalem. Sorry, I made that same mistake again. You're going to be paying Kofar Shalem. Why? Because we're going to use an argument. What's going to be the basis of the argument? What's the backbone of the argument? Regel. The backbone of the argument is going to be, because what happens when your animal tramples? So when your animal tramples, you're going to be paying Kofar Shalem. If that's true regarding Regel, first time it kills, it's going to be paying Kofar Shalem. So for sure, when it comes to Karen Birushos HaNizak, you two there are also going to be are going to be on the hook for Kofar Shalem. That is right now the constructed argument of the Gemara on behalf of Rabbi Tarfon. So and if we're right about all that, and that's a big if, but if we're right about all that, so that means that the whole argument, the backbone of the argument is Regel. And what does it mean? Regel, first time that your animal tramples somebody in a Rishus HaNizak, you're going to be paying Kofar Shalem, if we're right. Okay, so the Gemara says, I'm a Rishimi Menarda. So Tanim Nizik and the Regel Maisilam. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you're not right. In other words, we're not learning the Kavachomer based on Kofar of Regel. We're learning it based on Nezik of Regel. In other words, just simply look. What happens with Regel and Rishus HaRabim? How much damage? Zero. And now what happens when I move the Nezek into the Rishus HaNizak? We went to 100, 0 to 100. So if we're going to go 0 to 100 by Nezek of Regel, so now when we do Kofar, granted, by the way, we're doing Kofar of Karen, but still, if we're doing Kofar, so what happens in the Rishus HaRabim? We start at Chatzi Kofar. And now when we go into the Rishus HaNizak, we're going to go from 50 to 100. Okay? I'll repeat it just one more time. If by Nezek we're ready to go from 0 to 100, going from Rishus HaRabim to a Rishus HaNizak, so by Kofar, if we're starting at 50, for sure we're going to move up to 100 if we go into the Rishus HaNizak. So the Gemara says, okay, but I hear you, but to learn a Kal Vachomer from Nezek, that's tricky. Why? Because there are so many exemptions when it comes to Nezek. So Velifroch Malin Zikin Deregel Shekin Yeshna Beish. So the Gemara says, okay, but you know, when it comes to Nezek, so you have many different avenues by Nezek that you don't have by Kofar. Let's take, for example, Eish. So your fire goes ahead and damages. You have to pay. What if your fire kills somebody? Do you have to pay Kofar? No. You can't make the jump from Nezek to Kofar. You know, by Eish, there's Nezek, but there's no Kofar. So the Gemara says, Betamun. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what? Maybe it's hidden. And so if it's hidden, so we can remove Eish from the equation. So the Gemara says, Malatamun Shekin Yeshna Bebor. So the Gemara says, okay, but what about Bor? Meaning your pit damages. You have to pay. What if your pit kills? Do you pay Kofar? No. So the Gemara says, well, the Mikalim. But the Gemara says, yeah, but you know what got damaged? It's Kalim. In other words, then we know that when it comes to Bor, there's no liability for Kalim. Okay. In other words, it's a Patur. So Mala Kalim, Shiyeshna Be'esh. The Gemara says, yeah, but Kalim, you have by Eish. So the Gemara says, Kalim Tamunim. Okay, so the Gemara says, yeah, well, they're hidden Kalim. So hidden Kalim, right, at this point in time, look at the twisted pretzel that the Gemara is in right now. So it's hidden Kalim. So hidden Kalim, so exempt from the damages of fire, exempt from the damages of pit. So the only thing now that's left is just standard Nezek. And now, again, we're going to use the Kavachomer. If in the Rishus Rabim it's zero, and now I move to the Rishus HaNezek, it's going to be 100. So now Kofar, which in the Rishus Rabim is going to be Chatzi Kofar, so in the Rishus HaNezek it's going to go up to 100. So the Gemara says, Ma lekelim tamunim sheyeshnam ba'adam. So the Gemara says, okay, but in other words, there is going to be a liability for hidden kalim if, let's say, the person damages it. And meanwhile, when a person kills us, they're going to be kofar. There's not going to be kofar by Adam. So elalav shmamina kofar deregel ma'isila ama ika kofar deregel shmamina. So the Gemara says, look, we were right the first time. The only way that this argument could have been constructed is not using nezek, but rather starting with kofar. In other words, the Kal Vachomer had to have started with kofar. It could not have started with nezek, because Nezek will not be serving as a platform. We can't jump from Nezek to Kofar. There are too many exclusions by Nezek. So therefore, the Kal Vachomer has to have started with Kofar. And we were right the first time that when it comes to Kofar, what happens by Kofar Beregel? You're chayev, Kofar Shalom. Kofar Beregel in a Rishus HaNezek, you're chayev Nezek Shalom. Okay, good. So we were right. So Amalei Rav Achim Adiftilu Ravina Hakanami Mistabra. And the Gemara says, and by the way, not only were we right, we were absolutely right. Dika kofar beregel, diisak adachaleka kofar beregel, tana, minizikim deregel, maisila, lifrach, malinizikim deregel, shekin yeshna beregel. Elalav shmamina, kofar deregel, maisila, ama diika kofar beregel, shmamina. The Gemara just simply punctuates and emphasizes that it couldn't have been nezek beregel. Nezek beregel has too many exceptions, too many exclusions. It has to be talking about kofar beregel. Okay, good. So again now, let's just quickly summarize the last 10 minutes of the daf. The Gemara now wants to know, if my animal tramples a person in their Rishus, in the Rishus HaNezek, do I pay kofar? First time offense. And basically, what's on the table is, what is the trigger of kofar? Is the trigger of kofar the fact that you're chayev nezek shalem? Because it's orchei? Just like Karen on a repeated basis is orchei? Alternatively, no. What's the trigger of kofar is kavanas lahazik. And that's the question. And the answer is the former, not the latter. As long as it's orchei, so then you're going to be on the hook to have to pay kofar. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the first half of today's daf. And we now begin. What is the amount of kofar? That's an excellent question. And not only is it an excellent question, it is a debate. In other words, your animal put somebody to death. So the Torah says, "Im kofar yushas alav." So what you're going to do now is you're going to assess him. The Torah gives a pronoun. The Torah does not tell us which him we're describing. The victim that was killed, or you, alternatively, you, the owner of the animal. And the Gemara has a machlokus on that very issue. Machlokus tanayim. I don't remember, forgive me, I got it so far in this discussion. I don't remember who we paskin like. But in other words, it's machlokus as to whether or not we're going to be assessing the value of either A, the person that was killed, or B, the owner of the animal.
We had this with the appraisal. Yeah.
Good. We've been there. We've done it. Chavav Amidav. We start with the Mishnah. Adamur laolam bein meizit I'm sorry. Bein shogig. Sorry. Excuse me. Bein shogig, bein mezid, bein er, bein yashen. So as far as the person is concerned, mu'ad la'olam. In other words, whatever you and I are going to do, we will have full liability first time. And not only first time, even unintentional. Oops, I didn't mean to. Right? In other words, I know I backed up my car into your car. Yeah, but I didn't turn around. But I certainly didn't intend on doing the damage. Adam mu'ad la'olam. And bein ones, I spoke one word ahead of myself. So bein shogig, bein mezid, bein er, bein yashen. And it doesn't even matter if you were sleeping at the time. We're going to clarify this point a little bit later on this morning. Right? You were fast asleep and tossing and turning while you were sleeping, you damage, and you have to pay for that damage. That's absolutely correct. In other words, because again, the liability of a person, when you and I damage, we're going to have full liability right at the onset, even if the damage was unintentional. So let's say I blind my friend, and it was totally unintentional. Okay, right? You're playing a sport. You're playing baseball. You hit the ball, and it knocks in. God forbid. But in other words, but that's what the Mishnah is describing, and it knocks into somebody's eye, and you blind them, and so you're gonna have to pay for the damages. Yeah, but of course it was unintentional. I know it's unintentional. Adam muad laolam. And if you break somebody's kli, you're going to have to pay for it. Okay. So, Ketani, we're going to jump right to the Gemara. A discussion to be had about ones, and I almost let it slip as I read the Mishnah. The Mishnah does not have the word ones. What if it were circumstances totally beyond your control? But what I'm going to do is I'm going to wait. Tomorrow we'll discuss what about ones. Anyway, Ketani Sime es in chaveru dumya deshiber sakelim. So mahasam nezik in arba dvarim lo, afsi meseino chavero, nezik in arba dvarim lo. So point number one of the Gemara is the following, and that is that unintended damages. Okay, so the reason why the Mishnah gives two simple examples of Shibra Zakel Mesime Simes Eino, right? You have to wonder, the Gemara is wondering, why was the Mishnah giving us of any example of you and I doing damages? Why these two particular examples? So there's a point to be made, obviously, and the point is the following. When I break somebody's keli, so what do I have to do? It's very simple. Assess the damage and pay for the damages. When I blind somebody unintentionally, so what do I do? Assess the damages and pay the damages, right? It's the same. But the point is that there's no dal dvarim. When we do the eighth parak of Baba Kama, coming up in where are we? 26? 80? A month and a half. Okay. When we get to the eighth parak of Baba Kama, so over there we're going to learn together that when you damage somebody, there is not one payment but five separate payments. First and foremost, the damage. In other words, you're going to be assessing how much loss there is in the person. That's going to be just simply by putting him figuring out how much he would be selling on the open market. Obviously, we're not selling him, but in other words, we do have to assess the damage that you made. In the damages, but on top of that, you're going to also have to pay for pain, medical bills, disability, and the embarrassment that he suffered. Okay, those are an additional four payments that you're going to be paying above the just simple nezik that you created. But as we're learning together right now, those additional four payments are only when the damage that I did to my friend, the damage that I did to my friend is intentional. But if the damages that I did were unintentional, so then you pay and you only pay nezek, you don't pay the other four damages. Okay. Why is that? That's the halacha. Meaning that the extra four damages are only when done intentionally. Rashi writes over here, Lomachaive, last Rashi in the Amud. Lomachaive Arba Dvarmela, O Mazid, O Karvla Mazid, Dum Yedichi, Rivun Anashim, Da'asam Ksiv Ripui, and Shemis. So if you look in Parshas Mishpatim and Perek Chaf Aleph, and you'll see the psukim that describe the Shevis Ripui, disability, medical bills. So there, it's only when people are fighting and there was intent to hurt and injure another person. Then and only then do you have these additional payments. But if there was no intention, Rashi writes over here, it's either Mazid or Karvla Mazid. Anything short of that, so now there's no Dal Dvarim. Obviously, there's still going to be a Karen payment, but no Dal Dvarim. Okay. We're on the top of Chavav Amid Beis. So, Minahani Mili. Okay. The idea that a person is going to be fully liable for all damages that he does, even when unintentional, how do I know? So the Torah over here is extraneous. This is now Parshas Emor, right? The Nezek Parshios in the Torah are scattered throughout the Torah, right? I don't know if I discussed this on day one of the Masechta, and day one of the Masechta is not recorded, started on a Shabbos, but I tell you to go back. At least in this cycle, there's nothing to go back to. But in other words, but if you want to find the Nezek Parshios in the Torah, so you're going to go to Mishpatim, and you're also going to go, oddly enough, to the end of Parshas Emor. The Pesukim over there says, V'ishki yitain mum ba'amiso, ka'asher asa kein ya'aseh lo. So if you damage another person, that's nezek adam, that is bodily damage done by a person, so then what is the compensation? In other words, the compensation is that whatever the value of the damage is, right? Ka'asher asa kein ya'aseh lo. And then the Torah goes on to say, petza tachas patza, right? A wound for a wound. And oh, by the way, we'll talk about this at the beginning of the eighth parak. And that is that the simplest reading of the psukim is that, oh, you knocked out his eye, so your eye's going to get knocked out. Ein tachas ayin. We all know that's not correct. That's not the conclusion. And the Gemara says it's mammon. Okay. But still, that's the halacha. But the fact that the Torah says, petza tachas patza, right, chain tachas chain, ayin tachas ayin. So those are all extra. So what do we learn from that? So lechayvo al shoge kemezid. So the al ones keratzon. So what we're learning from there is that you're going to be paying even if unintentional, even if it was shogeg, even if it was ones. Here the Gemara says it. The Gemara says it. Even if it were ones, meaning it doesn't matter how the injury occurred. You were not intentional on injuring your friend, doesn't matter. You're going to be financially liable under all circumstances. So, Haimi by Litain Sarba Makum Nezek. Now, the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. We're going to see together in the eighth parak that there's a separate drasha, which is the following, is that if there was injury and on top of that there was pain, you have to pay both. You have to pay the injury and you have to pay the pain as well. The Gemara is going to have a struggle later in the Masechta to figure out how to assess pain. But it doesn't matter. In other words, there is an assessment and you do pay for pain. So the Gemara says, "Im kein lechto kra petza bipatza, my tachas petza shma minatarti." So the Gemara says, "I hear you, but both points are actually learned out. Number one, if there was injury and pain, you pay for both. And on top of that, we also learn out our halacha, which is that you're going to be paying for all damages, even if unintentional." Okay, so the big point of today's daf is that when it is nezek ha'adam, if I damage another person, I'm paying, and even if the damages were unintentional. That is the, and not just when I damage another person, when I damage his property, I'm going to be paying even if the damages were unintentional. The Gemara now is going to be treating us to a number of examples of how this plays out. And from here until the remainder of the parak, we're just basically going to cite example after example. Amar Rabba, Haisav Menachas Vabacheko, Velo Hikerbo. So let's say there was a stone in your lap and you never knew that there was a stone in your lap. In other words, you're sitting there and your head is elsewhere. Okay. And meanwhile, somebody puts a stone over there. However the stone got in your lap, it is inconsequential. You did not know there was a stone there. And now what happens is that you get up and you generate force in order to push the stone in somebody's direction. And it damages. So this is as unintentional as one could imagine. You didn't even know that there was a stone in your lap. Your mind was elsewhere. Somebody put the stone over there. So this is like, we are now at the ends of shogeg. So the point is, Lingan is Zikin Chayev. So as far as Nezek is concerned, you're Chayev. Because again, that's the main point of today's daf. That when it comes to Nezek, you're going to be Chayev. Now, Lingan Arba Dvarim Potter. Now, as far as the extra four payments are concerned, you're going to be exempt. We went over that point already today, but this is just a practical application of playing this out. Now, Ling Shabbos, Melechus Mechsheves Asra Torah. Now, let's say Shabbos. Let's say, for example, that in you getting up, the stone now went from a Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. Alternatively, the stone traveled 4 amos in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. So that's a violation of Shabbos. That's Hotzah, right? So, no. In other words, yes, it's Hotzah, but in order to be Chayv on Shabbos, it has to be Melechus Mechsheves. You have to be intentional about that which you did. Over here, you were not intentional. So on Shabbos, you're not going to be in violation of Shabbos. Li'inyan galus pater. Now, as far as galus is concerned, let's say that stone killed somebody. Right? Let's say you got up quickly. In other words, whatever the case is, you generate enough force, or let's say you're on a high elevation, and by you getting up now, the stone fell, and gravity really helped it go down. And it went and it hit somebody and it killed somebody. So over here, you're not going to be sent into galus, right? For those who went through the second parak of Makos, what was it? Last summer, 2 summers ago? I should be able to remember. Anyway, two summers ago. Okay, right? So 2 summers ago, we did it in our kol here in Boca. So to be chayv galus for manslaughter, it has to be shogig, but shogig over there means that you had to have been at least somewhat aware of your actions. Over here, you didn't even know there was a stone in your lap, so this doesn't even hit the threshold of going into galus. Li'inyan eved. Now, let's say this stone now, as you get up, goes ahead and damages your eved kanani. Is he going to go free? So that's plukta the Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel of Rabban and Detanya Arisha Yerabba Rofe and Amar Lo Choleini Sima Chator Lishinai He Pila So Sichek Ba'adam Yatzalecheras. So let's say you are an owner of an Eved Kanani and it happens to be that either you are a doctor, you're a dentist, and instead of your Eved Kanani going elsewhere, so he says, you know what, do me a favor. He turns to his owner and he says, right, I need some help with my eye, I need some help with my tooth. And then what the owner did is, while practicing, so he knocked out the eye, he knocked out the tooth. So does the Eved Kanani go free? We know that an Eved Kanani goes free with the knocking out of any one of his extremities. So over here, the owner knocked out the extremity, but totally unintentionally. And by the way, not only is it unintentional, meaning the intention of the owner was to medically treat his Eved Kanani. Okay, but within the medical treatment, he knocked out the eye, he knocked out the tooth. So does he go free? The Tanna Kamma says, yes, he does. And Rav Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, v'shichasa achis kavin l'shachasa. And the Rashbag says, no, you don't go free, because in order for the Eved Kanani to go free, so it had to have been the knocking out of the extremity with the intention of doing so. In other words, it had to become as a result of abusive behavior of the owner. If the owner is not abusive, but in fact just the opposite, trying to treat his Eved Kanani, so he does not go free. Okay, so in other words, the Gemara says that's the machlokas. So what we just set ourselves up is that the stone fell out of your lap. You didn't even know the stone was there. What is going to be the halachas regarding Nezek, Shabbos, Gullus, and your Eved Kanani? Now we're going to do that whole exercise again, but now we're going to turn up the kavana just a little bit. Okay, so we're taking the dial of kavana and we're moving it just a little bit. Hikarba shichachav amad nafla. So now over here, you knew the stone was in your lap. You put the stone in your lap, and then what happens is like by all of us, your mind went elsewhere. And you were just sitting there and you totally forgot that the stone was in your lap. So over here, the kavana dial is turned just a little bit. At the time when you stood up, you totally forgot the stone was there. But originally you knew the stone was there. So what's going to change? So of the four topics that we just discussed, there's only going to be one change, right? So let's see how good we all are at in terms of noticing the change. So le'inyan nizikin chayav. I'm going to read quickly. Le'inyan arba dvarim pater. Le'inyan galus chayav. Damakra bishka gam mechal dahava le'yedia. Vehahava le'yedia. Le'inyan Shabbos pater. And le'inyan eved plukta d'roshim and gamlil v'rabanan. So over here, so one thing changed and only one thing changed, and that's going to be galus. In other words, legabi nezik, you're going to be chayav. Legabi dal dvarim, you're going to be pater. As far as galus is concerned, here's the change. You're going to be chayav. This is shogeg. That now you've hit the threshold of, this is manslaughter. Again, I'm using English terminology. But in other words, I'm really describing halacha. In other words, this is something where it's wrongful death. Because of your carelessness, a person died. You put the stone in your lap, even though at the time when you stood up, you forgot it was there. But this now will hit the threshold of shogeg. You're going to go into galus. Now, as far as Shabbos is concerned, this is not Melechus Machshavos. You're not going to be chayiv. And as far as your Avikanan is concerned, is he going to go free? Machlok is between the Tanakama and the Reshbag. Niskav and Lizrok Shtayim, Vizarik Arba. Okay, now let's go over and let's move the dial up some more, shall we? So over here now, I intended to throw the item, it's a stone, but I only intended to throw two amas. And I'm not as coordinated as I thought I was, and it traveled four amas. So my intention was only to throw two amas and went four amas. So now, le'inyin izakin chayav, le'in arba dvarim patur. Okay, so points one and two go unchanged. Now over here, there's more kavana. It's not full kavana, but a lot more. In other words, over here, I really intended on throwing the item. Just happens to be that I only thought it was going to go two. And meanwhile, I went four. Okay, so, Nezek, Urchayev. Arbadvarim, you're going to be Pater. Good. Shabbos, Malachis Machshevis Be'inan. So, as far as Shabbos is concerned, you need Malachis Machshevis. You don't have it over here. In other words, for a violation of Shabbos, you have to do exactly what you set out to do. That's not the case over here. Now, as far as Galus is concerned, Asher lo tzada merachmana, so pratlin skavin lezrok shtayim, vizarek arba'a. Now, are you going to go into Galus? This one's tricky. This one's tricky. The Gemara says, well, the Gemara is not clear about what it actually says. I'll read the Gemara again. As far as Galus is concerned, v'asher lo tzada. You know, you didn't ambush your friend. So that's what the Torah says. Pratlin skavin lezrok shtayim, vizarek arba. Excluding where you meant to throw two, and meanwhile you threw four. Now, the exclusion is from what? From going into Galus or not going into Galus? It's really unclear. In fact, it's so unclear, the Gemara is so unclear, that Rashi offers not one but two pshatim in terms of what the Gemara means. Rashi's first pshat is that in such a case, you are not going to go into Galus. Right, you're not going to go into Galus. So because you are not intent on the stone going for Amos. Okay. Admittedly, Rashi offers another pshat, which in fact just the opposite. But anyway, let's just leave it there. As far as your Avikanani is concerned, here it goes unchanged. Plukta de Rashi and Gamliel v'Rabban, and that's a machlokas. Okay. His kavin lizrok arba v'zarak shmona. Your intention was to throw it four amos, and instead it went eight amos. So again, let's go over. Most of these, we're already going to know what the result is. As far as Nezik is concerned, you're going to be chayv. As far as Dal Dvarim is concerned, you're going to be Potter. Those two are easy. As far as Shabbos is concerned, here it's tricky. Why? Because on Shabbos, what's the violation of Shabbos? Throwing four amos in the Rosh Hashanah Rabbin. Your intention was to throw it four amos. However, meanwhile, you didn't realize how strong you were. Again, it's just you were not totally coordinated. You only meant to throw it four, and meanwhile, it went eight. So, if in fact that's the case, so is that Malachis Machshevis? So the Gemara says like this. If when throwing it, you said, look, I'm going to throw it, and I want to throw it at least four amos. Where it lands after that, I don't care. So under those circumstances... Under those circumstances, you're going to be chayiv. Malachis Machshevis, yes. Because your intention was to throw it four amos, and you did throw four amos. It landed beyond four amos. Your declaration was, I don't care where it lands, as long as it goes at least four amos. Now, it goes without saying that if I set out to only throw four amos and it landed eight amos away, so that's not Malachis Machshevis, and you're not chayiv for Shabbos. As far as Galus is concerned, Asher lo tzada, pralis kavin lezrok arba v'zarek shmona. Now, are you going to go into Galus? Again, go back to the Rashi that I just cited moments earlier. And as far as your Avikanani is concerned, Plukta de Rav Shimon Gamliel v'Rabbanan. And as far as Avikanani is concerned, that's going to be a machlokas between the Tanakama and the Reshbag. Okay. We just laid out four different examples of, it's not mazid, but it's either really shogeg, or we just played with the dial a little bit in terms of it's getting closer to mazid. Right, the four examples that we just covered in the Gemara is, I never knew the stone was in my lap, and I stood up. I knew the stone was in my lap, I forgot about it, and then I stood up. I only intended to throw two and went four amos. I only intended to throw four and it went eight amos. And what would be the halachas regarding Nezek, Dalad Dvarim, Shabbos, Eved Kanani, in Galus. Okay, perfect.